Welcome to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast, a radical approach to herbalism, self-care, and the tarot. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the 58th episode of the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. This is Karina. I hope everyone is doing as well as is possible in these times. I'm really excited today to share a conversation from May with the amazing queer mutant Brujequis, Edgar Fabian Frias. You can check out their work on Instagram, and you can, you know, check out all their website, all their offering. They have like a Witch Crush Wednesday YouTube segment, and they do something called the Young Freak Challenge, and they make a lot of amazing animated GIFs, I guess you would call them, about the dismantling and collapse of patriarchy, white supremacy inside of our witchcraft. So I love their work. Definitely check it out. Make a donation to them. And yeah, I've been really taking time to stop and consider the way that I use my voice. I'm really happy that I've gotten to do this podcast for so long and that it resonates with so many people. It feels kind of niche, but it feels like the people that need to hear it and need to be here have arrived, and I'm really happy to be able to provide this for everyone. But I've been considering the way that I show up, the way that I use my voice, and, you know, especially with everything that's been happening with the federal police in Portland, a city that really woke up my radical anarchist awareness more than 15 years ago, almost 20 years ago. To see that happening there is pretty heartbreaking, and just to know that it's very possible this is the beginning. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot about what it's like to show up as like a quote unquote healer in these times. And that's not really a word that I use to define myself. It's not really a word that I use as an identifier for myself, but my work as an herbalist, my work as a tarot reader, my work, with astrology, and client work in general is, and now as a teacher, as I've been teaching the Tarot Summer School, which is tarot from a liberatory radical perspective, which I love, I have to think, you know, what, I don't like words, I don't like labels for myself, but the space that I occupy, the space that I hold, and this is something I think about constantly. I think about it constantly in my relations with, you know, clients and students and colleagues and community members. But I've just been thinking deeper and deeper since this uprising started. And yeah, just thinking about how to use my platform and how best to use my voice. Because I don't know if we need like another white femme, you know, as part of a social justice movement. And yeah, I don't know. I'll just leave it at that, but I'm reconsidering a lot of stuff. I'd love to offer this platform for more collaborations. I have some other awesome interviews, a few more plant witch origin stories or plant person origin stories coming out. But I'm interested in talking also to grassroots organizers who are doing this like anti-state violence work in the streets. Something that you're interested, like feel free to reach out. But what I want to say is I'm super happy that so many people are resonating with this podcast, with the vision that I had when I created it. And I wanted to read, I know I haven't read any reviews in a while, I wanted to read the most recent review. This is from last month in June. It's from That Loud Girl, and it says, "I'm so grateful to have stumbled upon this podcast a few months back. The words and stories that Karina and their guests have shared have literally changed the way I see the world, providing a radical framework for viewing spiritual healing work through a social justice lens. It's made me rethink and work to dismantle so many of the ideas I was raised with around race, class, gender, and identity, and has also given me the practical tools and knowledge to start working with tarot and herbal medicine and following lunar cycles. This is so much more than a witchy or spiritual podcast. It's a deeply grounded reckoning with what it means to be in this moment and how we as individuals and collectively can work to change things. Thank you so much, That Loud Girl. I love reading these reviews. It's like the highlight of my day whenever I get a new one. Because it's interesting making a podcast. A lot of times you feel like you're screaming into a void. You don't really know how your work is resonating. And yet, knowing that people resonate with this makes me feel like there's a responsibility for me to carry on with this and to keep sharing my process and to keep trying to be as vulnerable and as authentic as I'm able to. So thank you. Thank you, everyone, for being here. And if you would like to leave a review, I'm hoping to get to 200 reviews. I'm about 12 short. I'm hoping to get there soonish. You can go to Apple Podcasts, leave 5 stars, and share some words. And if you have it in your budget to make a monthly contribution to this work, and you will also get a lot of extra content, a 20% discount on The Apothecary, and a discount on tarot readings, lots of live videos and zines and stuff, you can go to www.patreon.com/riseupgoodwitch. And most of the content on there is viewable to patrons of as little as $5 a month. So I love and appreciate your support to my patrons. Thanks for helping this sustain for as long as it has. Yeah, I look forward to hearing feedback anytime from folks. Probably not on Instagram. I do love when you take a screenshot and share it on Instagram, but long DMs, not my thing. I got arthritis. So send a witch an email, which you can find in the show notes. Yeah, so it's weird, tough times right now. I was just telling someone, it's like, I constantly have this vision of what it would be like if I could send the first 10 minutes of Democracy Now to myself 1 year ago and just help myself grapple with all that has been going on. Although at the same time, it isn't a huge surprise. I feel like I've spent my whole adult life preparing for revolution, for uprising, for systemic collapse. I feel like that's been part of my belief system, is that that would come in my lifetime. And you know, who knows what'll happen from now on. And I'm not trying to be a downer to anyone, but I've been really preparing for this my whole life. So in a lot of ways, it feels like I feel like I can adapt to it. But at the same time, like, I still have to reckon with in myself the way that I uphold systemic oppression, even after years and years and years of like working hard to try to unlearn it. It is a hard beast to tame. And holding myself accountable to being the best person I can be, working on my shit, working on my trauma, working on my reactions, working on my expectations, just all of it is just exhausting. And I'm doing it all in a sweltering summer heat wave in the Mojave Desert. So that's where I'm at. But I, you know, I've been making some medicine. It's going to be free and donation based for Black people, for BIPOC frontline organizers that don't have the accessibility to pay or just the need for, you know, need medicine. Hit a witch up. I'm happy to provide for you. And if you have the means, check out The Apothecary on my website, www.riseupgoodwitch.com. This morning, I was adding a little bit of bleeding heart essence that I just made when I was in Humboldt a couple weeks ago to a new formula called Good Grief that is made with peaches and roses and motherwort and has some Ocotillo essence in it. And also you can read a case study of Ocotillo that me and a couple patrons did on the site. But you can check that out. It'll be up soon. But when I was making it, I got to take a little bit of it, and it was like, you know, grief medicine is so important for us in these times because it shows us how to sit with these feelings. And that's, I've had to learn so much about grief in the last couple of years. And it's just, it teaches you that this is part of life. This is part of the fullness of life, is to feel the pain of loss, loss of life, loss of expectations, loss of safety, you know, loss of dreams. And that's all what we're going through, a lot of us right now. But in that grief, I feel like the expansion is possible. The ability to love and to open is so much more possible. So all that said, I love y'all. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Edgar. Please go follow them. Check out their work. They are amazing. Support their work. I just think like they are an angel mutant in this world, like blessing us all with so much just by existing. So please support them. And take care, y'all. Today, I am joined with the amazing witch, Edgar, Fabi, and Frias, and we're opening today with a spell. So each of us are lighting a candle and burning one of our favorite herbal allies, for me, rosemary.
And I'm using an aura spray with frankincense and mugwort essential oils.
So we are casting this spell today for the collective good of all beings, to will the systems which are harmful and empowered to collapse and to make way for more ethical, more equitable relationships and futures between all of us.
Yes, and we are bringing everything that has been hidden into the light, to be transmuted, to be brought into the collective. And we are opening the hearts and the minds and the eyes and the visions of all who are a part of our webs and of the webs that are connected to us. And we are all envisioning this collective liberation for all.
Beautiful. And to quote Angela Mary Magic, everything is a spell. So this interview today is part of this spell, and we'll close the spell and blow out the candle at the end of the conversation. So Edgar, this is awesome. This is the first time I've begun an interview this way. Thank you so much for being here. I love your work. I feel like you're such a beautiful spirit in these times. For folks maybe that don't know about you and your work, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, how you identify, what you do, etc.?
Thank you so much, Karina. I'm so honored to be on this podcast and to be connected with you. So for folks that don't know me, my name is Edgar Fabian Frias, and I am a multidisciplinary person. I do a lot of different things. I'm a licensed psychotherapist in the state of California, and I'm also a visual artist. I'm currently living in Oklahoma because I'm in the Tulsa Artist Fellowship. And I'm also a practicing brujekis, or witch, and I create spells that are made with digital imagery, and also in community. And most recently, during this pandemic, I've been working a lot virtually with people and holding space for ceremony in a virtual platform. And that's something I've, you know, have definitely done a lot of in person. as well. So as I said, multidisciplinary, and I'm also, other things about myself. I'm also non-binary. I'm queer. I'm Latinx. I'm also indigenous, Vidarica. My people are from Mexico. Very, very hybrid mutant is another way I see myself too.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you call yourself a mutant. Like, I don't know if I've seen that a lot. Can you maybe talk a little bit about your self-identity as like a mutant?
It's definitely connected to my feeling of power and also a reclamation of something that maybe was hurtful for myself. I think, right now I'm doing the hashtag Young Freak Challenge, and a big part of this challenge is to really help rewire and transform and send some love through the timelines to our past selves. And mutant and freak were definitely words that I heard in a way that wasn't empowering growing up, and along with other words, of course. And so for me, mutant has always been connected to the other, to the things that exist in the void or the liminal, just like the word witch or brujekis have also been really connected to that sacred magic. And for myself, my own mutant narrative is really has supported me so much in being able to feel empowered and to use my special abilities and to really transform my life. And that's a big part of why I really do believe in mutant powers, because I've witnessed how incredible they are, and how, people all over have so many special gifts and abilities, and it's something I want to celebrate as well.
Beautiful. And you're a Gemini too, right? You're a Gemini sun.
Yes, yeah, I just had my birthday last Sunday, so yes, I'm a Gemini sun.
Because it feels like mutant could be like a very Gemini type thing, identity as well.
I think, maybe it's like one kind of a mutant, because I feel for myself, like the mutant power I've always kind of admired the most is Morph, or there's also Mystique, I think, who are able to like become different like beings. And that's, to me, is like such a Gemini like desire to be able to like inhabit different thoughts or different be bodies or different ways of knowing. But yeah, I think mutant is very Gemini, because Gemini is very expansive, and I think mutable, as we know.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to hear your take. You have this beautiful visionary take on spell work and creating, and you said this a little bit already, but like your beautiful shares on Instagram, like the gifts of this like anti-oppression spell work that feels really liberatory. And even like when you did the Young Freak Challenge, I was like, wow, I only have one picture of myself as a teenager and I have to put it up. And then when you reposted it and you were like, bless this young freak, I was like, I feel blessed. Like, I feel like this spell really worked and like liberated me. So I'm curious about if you can talk a little about your process in creating like digital spells.
Yeah, so I think, this is really connected to the first time I ever encountered an art spell. And for myself, and I think this happens maybe to a lot of people, is I had a moment where I went into a museum the first time when I was 14, and I saw an art piece, and it like immediately kind of threw me into an altered state of consciousness. And something that experience made me realize is that art pieces, just like almost anything, as we're saying, this podcast, conversations, so many things can be created and imbued with energy, and that energy can almost like emanate like a vibration from whatever that thing is, right? And as you said, Angela Mary Magic says everything is a spell, and I definitely, 100% resonate with that. That I really feel our life is a spell, our intentions, our connections, the way that we organize ourselves. And I think, most recently, I've definitely been really working with that energy that I felt when I was younger, which is imbuing into my art practice messages, messages, of course, of hope, of transmutation, of repurposing. And a big part most recently, and I've been really inspired by Erin Aquarian. We both have been chatting a lot about, you know, working as witches to create content that can really support transformation and growth and really also challenge the normative brainwashing that, you know, a lot of us are forced to hear, especially at a young age. So spells to me are really, you know, they're working their magic beyond time and space and they're nonlinear. So I really do, I know, and I have really witnessed how powerful it is to do nonlinear magic when you're able to extend your hand back in time and connect with a part of yourself. I've witnessed that in so many like ceremonial experiences and therapeutic experiences where I've really witnessed how profoundly that can change your current reality. Because I really do feel like because it is nonlinear, like that love and that care can really transform your present moment. So I definitely feel like it's really important.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, yeah, Erin's work around deprogramming and a lot of other witches, you know, use that terminology as well, I think is like really eye-opening and important and inspiring. The idea that, you know, almost like we are creating new we're creating new paradigms, we're creating new realities from the ones that we were, like raised with in different times. So how has your work, you know, you said that you're an MFT.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how is your work as an MFT kind of like, how are you able to show up for your clients and like integrate witchcraft into this or integrate your spell work into your client work?
Well, I first want to name that, like, I'm currently not seeing clients right now. Because I'm in an artist residency, I've taken at least like now I'm in a year and a half that I haven't been working with people as a therapist. But when I have worked as a therapist and also when I plan on going back and working in the future, I definitely have found ways to be that person. I'm grateful that many of the spaces where I've been employed at and where I've worked as a therapist have been really open to myself integrating some of the more mystical or witchy traditions or ways of working. And I think a big part of my practice that is really, I feel connected to my practice as a brujekis is I really work with the divine intuition, the presence and the being of another person when I work with them as a therapist. And as a witch, we also know that, you know, allowing and supporting someone to really contact that power that's within is really one of the most powerful things that you can do for someone, with someone. And so I definitely feel for myself that's like a very different paradigm than the paradigm that really a lot of therapy practice is seen is, where the therapist is really, quote unquote, the expert. And, you know, for myself, that's never resonated. And I really feel that more and more the field of therapy is starting to understand the importance of mysticism. I actually have a group of friends that I connect with who are all MFTs or LPCs who live in Oregon, and we all went to graduate school together. And something that's been really incredible is that we've all really we have like weekly meetings where we share and talk about like witchcraft and therapy, and like they share how they've been integrating it into their practice. And also I think a lot of the work that I've been doing, it definitely integrates a lot of therapeutic knowledge and understanding. And so in a sense, I've been bringing some of that information into the field of witchcraft and into the field also of art practice too. So I'm definitely someone who feels like my own ancestors did not really distinguish between, you know, the healing practices and the cultural or creative practices. And so I really feel, as many witches feel, that there is such a divine connection between all of these practices and that they're very much a part of each other. And I think that's something that has been really a limitation of the Western like psychotherapeutic model.
Amazing. Yeah, it is interesting. Like I didn't go to graduate school to get a clinical degree. But I did work in the helping professions and social work for many years before being a full-time witch, basically. And it is interesting because when I think about it, it was like so much of the client work that I did, I feel like I was like casting protection spells with my clients without really knowing. And that was what created a safety, you know, around us when we were doing work. Cause I did a lot of work with like harm reduction, HIV prevention, and a lot of stuff that can be really triggering and heavy for people to deal with. So, I think it's really interesting, like this crossover between the mediums of working in a helping profession, which is an institution. So that can be, and I know like people that have clinical practices, it's probably a little different. For me, it was hard because a lot of times it was like, you need to call this person and tell them that, like ask them if they're okay and then check a box and we're going to get $1,000 from the government. Ha ha. Like stuff like that, you know, because of like regulations. And that felt right. Really sincere to me. And it was painful to do that because I was like, wow, these are like where we're dealing with communities that have real institutional poverty, like generations and generations of abuse and police violence. And our solution is to be like, let's see how much money we can get to the state to do as little as we can for these people. And that's like how I found working in the institution and social work was, and that was heartbreaking. So it's interesting, like when I talk to other witches and they are doing work in, you know, and it's like, not like you're doing that now, you're doing this artist residency, but just how to work within an institution, how to work with clinical frameworks that are a little bit more traditional. But, you know, when we ourselves have like more liberatory radical frameworks, how to integrate those within that.
Yeah. And I think, unfortunately, you know, in my past, I have had jobs that sound very similar to your experience. I also worked at one point as a social worker for folks with developmental disabilities. And that to me was also very disheartening. And I've heard it from many friends who are healers or in the helping profession that they've entered into positions that have really destroyed that initial drive and desire to help and to care. And I think a lot of these institutions are not set up for that kind of actual radical transformative work. And as you're naming, they're really set up to extract and to also, you know, create in some ways like a, I can really resonate with what you just shared because when I worked as that social worker in the Bay Area, our executive director was essentially like making almost $1 million a year when most of our clients were in deep poverty. And it was just like, and also myself as a social worker, like all of us social workers were not, you know, not doing well emotionally and financially. And then certain people were profiting off of that. And so that I think capitalism, as you know, I know that, you know, having listened to your other podcast, it's like capitalism being at the core of dysfunction within culture and community. I think that it's like a huge thing. And I'm so grateful to a lot of witches for really bringing that to the forefront, is that these systems of extraction and exploitation are violent to everyone. And they're, you know, if we build systems that really continue to work within that framework, it's just going to continue to replicate that system.
Yes, absolutely. And it feels like, thank you for sharing those examples and the wealth disparity and the corruption that exists within institutions that are supposed to be helping the collective. It is really infuriating. And it's funny because I, like, not funny, haha, but it's like, it's curious to think back about how much I got paid as a social worker and how much, it's really like, you know, for like jobs that require you to have a college degree and to go into debt to go to college, you know, the pay is pretty on par with being in food service. And yet the emotional stress is so deep. And there are people at the top who are doing policy work that aren't even like interacting with the people you're interacting with, that wouldn't even know who they were, that are profiting off that system. So there it's, you know, it's the nonprofit industrial complex. It is a thing. I want to say shout out to everybody, because I know I have a lot of listeners who work in that system. And I want to
definitely.
Yeah. Like shout out, y'all are doing, like, sometimes I'm like, it's God's work, which sounds creepy because that's like a thing that the like, you know, Christians say, but it, like when I was a harm reductionist and I was doing syringe exchange and HIV testing with unhoused people and people coming out of the system, like out of incarceration, I really was like, okay, I've never been a Christian, but if I, like, this is the most Christian shit that you can do. I'm like,
right.
Like, this is like Jesus's work. So anyway, that's very controversial. I don't know if I'll keep this in the, that in the recording, but yeah, so I really like honor that process that you've been in. And also just like, you know, the thing about it is like when you create art and you're creating these spells on Instagram, the thing is, Instagram is accessible to everyone. Anybody that has an iPhone, I guess, or a smartphone, which is a lot of people, you know, it's like a large percentage of the population of this country and other countries, regardless of income, have access to Instagram. So it gives, you know, there's like an accessibility piece there. There's like, it is sort of like people, it is kind of like a liberatory movement in that way. Like it can be, I mean, it's owned by one of the richest men in the world, but you know, you creating that offering, that accessibility is really important and sacred as well.
Yeah, and I think it's really important for us to use these platforms that we have to continue to expand our webs and to bring in people into them. And I think a big kind of impetus and catalyst for myself doing this kind of work is I really, you know, like many mystics, many witches, I've had to cobble together so much of my life because there was no path laid out for me. And from a lot of my life, I kind of, you know, had visions or dreams of how my life could look, but there was no example. And it wasn't until I started to see certain people who were able to start to move into that that way of living. Like, for example, I remember when Erin Aquarian became full-time witch, and I was shocked, and I was like, oh my goodness, she's like really diving into that, like going, you know, full into living that way. And I, at that time, I was still, you know, had a job. And I think now with Instagram, like, one, we're able to really kind of share our messages and share and also be connected to one another. And then also we're able to inspire each other and envision other ways of living and caring for one another that maybe wouldn't be possible. And I think that to me has also been really inspiring. And also just seeing how many people are able to, as you're saying, see it and get that sort of support when maybe they live in a family or in a community that's not supportive and, you know, sees them as, because I know, like, I was definitely a freak going up in my community. Like my family, my extended family, my immediate family, like a lot of people just always saw me as that like weirdo. And I think those weirdos, you know, in a lot of communities would have been the healers, the medicine people, the sacred people. And because our capitalist system doesn't give us that structure, that understanding that there are certain people who are gifted and visionaries, I think so many people suffer that alienation. And so that's, I think, a huge reason why I love connecting with folks, because I want to let people know, especially the young freaks out there, like, you are not alone. Like, you are part of a divine web.
Mm-hmm. And you do that. I, like, really want to just say that. I want to acknowledge that you are doing that. You're doing such important work that's, like, very heart-centered. And yeah, like, I had a very hard time as a child in a rural small town being a weirdo. Everyone knew I was a weirdo. Bullying was really, really bad. And I still hold that child with me. Like, I'm almost 40 and I still sometimes like see myself the way that like I, you know, like my 12-year-old self who was like so badly bullied and like alienated in my community. I think it's still like I hold that child with me, but that holding that child with me has helped me become more compassionate and empathetic and more committed to social inequality. So that kind of like makes me wonder, and I really wanted to ask you, and I know this is kind of like a big question, but I'm kind of curious about the origin story of like the witch and the artist of Edgar Fabian Frias, if you have anything to share about that.
Yeah, that is a big question. You know, I think that moment that I shared, you know, there are many moments, and I think in something I love to work with now is like divination work. And I think one of the most, in many ways, universal moments of divination that people have are like oracular moments or moments of foreshadowing or moments that feel, you know, that feel different than other moments. And so for myself, you know, after I had that altered state experience at a museum when I was young, I immediately went home and I asked my mom, I said, can we please go to the library? Like, I just discovered this thing called art, you know? And I, you know, walking into the library, there was one of the first books I found was a book on Andy Warhol. And, you know, not to say I'm such a huge fan of Andy Warhol at this moment in my life, but like that, and what, but what was amazing was that when I walked into the library, that book was just like on a table just by itself. Someone had left it there. And it's just one of those moments where, you know, there's like a portal starts to open up, because through Andy Warhol, I connected to so many other people. And I also got interested in psychotherapy and psychology because I started learning about like surrealism and the Dadaist movement and all these different movements that really were about radical transformation, both within and without. And I think, you know, I grew up as a Jehovah's Witness. So for me, these ideas were kind of very radical at the time. And I think art really attracted me because it was like a space that felt very liberating. And I grew up in a very religious household and also a very like religious community where in many ways I wasn't really allowed to talk to people who were outside of my church. Like I could have like school friends, but I was never allowed to hang out with them outside of school or anything like that. So books were really my escape. And I think books also, you know, became my best friends. And, you know, I also, I think when you were talking about your experience earlier about being bullied, like one that I've really healed a lot that feels very important in my life was there was a moment in my life where I was like reading a book at a park and I was like sitting under a tree and this group of people who were all from my church were like playing baseball and they're all men and they saw me reading a book under a tree and I was like very happy, you know, like by myself, like, yes, I'm in my book. And it was about, I remember it was a book about the Ebola virus and I was very fascinated by the Ebola virus as a young person. And they came up to me and they're like, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? Why are you reading? You're such a weirdo. Like a bunch of like misogynist, fanphobic language, you know? And at that time I felt so alone and I felt so othered and felt so like broken and like there was something wrong with me. And I think that that really drove something within me that I needed, you know? And I think there's always been a part of me that's like, almost like rescues me or supports me in transmuting. And so what I knew at that moment was like, I'm different. And so from these people, and so I need to find who those other people are and also find a way to, you know, haphazardly create like a life where I'm able to really live in my passions and dreams. And so that's taken a, you know, a long time for me to get to the point where I am. And as I've said, it's just organically come together and also through the sacred support of my ancestors and of my guides, like helping bring people to me. And so I think that that's also like a big part of like how I've gotten to this place.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing. It's interesting. I did a workshop or I like watched a workshop that Marcella Kroll did recently about writing a letter to your younger self. And Marcella is super magical, somehow knows how to, yeah, like there's just like this loop of connectivity that comes up when she does her work. And when I was in doing the activities in this workshop, I had this, you know, realization that I now was with me at all these troubling times in the past, like, at, you know, 6 years old, at 12 years old, at 15, at 26, at 34, you know, like I was there the whole time. And maybe like a me 20 years from now, like goddess willing, if I get to live 20 more years, you know, like I realize like me now has been coaching me then and supporting me before I knew that that was me, you know.
Yes. Yeah. And in a way, like our future selves are coaching us right now too. Right. And they're letting us know, they're giving us information about what we need to get to where they are, you know?
Yeah. 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 Absolutely.
I've definitely had that experience. I think it's profound to be with yourself and to go back and to visit yourself and to rescue yourself and to be there, to be that person that you needed when you didn't have that growing up.
Yes, absolutely. I'm glad that you relate to that. So is there anything else, like what else are you working on right now? What kind of things can we expect from you? How can, you know, people invest in your work and learn more about what you're doing?
Yeah, so, you know, I, like everyone else, my year was very different before February. my year looked very different before February. And so I, you know, had a lot of art shows or different exhibitions planned, but now I think because of everything being up in the air, and us moving into a more virtual platform, a lot of my offerings have become virtual, and that's actually been something really exciting where I've been able to connect with a lot more folks than I would say, you know, normally when I do have workshops and they're like kind of site specific, it's really kind of centered on that community, but I've been able to really work with a lot of people from all over the place, and that has felt really empowering. So I have a website, and if people are interested, it's edgarfabianfrias.org. And I update that pretty frequently with like my offerings. And so I would say in the next few months, I'm definitely going to be offering some workshops, both by myself and also collaboratively. I work with a lot of witches within my community to offer like co-created workshops or different kinds of ceremonial offerings. And also I'm going to continue to be doing like live streaming and making video art too. And, you know, hopefully at some point, when and if we're able to go back into showing artwork in person or having ceremonies in person, I definitely plan on doing that as well.
Amazing. And you were involved with the Golden Dome School, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually just did a workshop with the Golden Dome School about a week ago. That was like a performance ceremony, a dark moon ceremony, working with the dark moon energies for performance. But I've been like an educator with them, and I've also participated in their ceremonies and gone to their artist residency. So I've done a lot with the Golden Dome. I love the Golden Dome.
Yeah. Wow. I did not know that workshop happened. It's so hard to like keep up with everything everyone's doing. I totally would have wanted to go to that. Are you going to be working with the Golden Dome School on any of these collaborations coming up?
Not right now, but I'm hoping to. Yeah, I'm definitely going to talk with Eliza Swan to see if I can offer something else, because the last workshop we had was so powerful, and I would love to offer something like that again or do something else with them. And I, you know, as I said, I've done at this point maybe done like over 20 different things with them. So I'm pretty sure, even though I have nothing planned at this moment, I'm sure something will emerge. Definitely.
Amazing. I love how much collaborative work you do. It's really cool and inspiring, because it is like we can't do this work alone. We have to do it with each other. We have to connect with each other. So yeah, I'm like super thankful to be talking to you. And I guess, yeah, like, is there anything else you wanted to share or that you wanted to say that didn't get to come up?
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing that we haven't shared that I think is something that I really admire about your work is I've had a few of your potions, and that's something I've been really excited about recently is I've always been a plant witch, I feel, and in the last few years, I've been diving more and more into plant magic, and I think that's something that I really want to encourage people to, if you're kind of have an affinity towards plants or feel connected to plants, I really feel like plants can be so supportive, and plants have been really, really helping me during this time, both, you know, taking them as essences and also as tinctures. And just connecting with plants, you know, like fruits and vegetables or different herbs or different plant kin and flowers. I think those are all such powerful medicines that I'm, you know, really, really grateful to see more and more witches integrating into their practices, because I definitely know, you know, growing up that, you know, that to me is like sacred knowledge that has been passed down. And I think it's something that I'm really excited to see more and more people centering in their lives.
Yes, absolutely. Is there any specific plant or essence that you've been working with lately that's been healing for you?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, there's a couple actually. One is a periwinkle essence that I got from Sewon Oh from Sun Song. That she created it at the beginning of this pandemic, and I've been really working a lot with periwinkle. And she's actually re offering a flower essence like community support group in a sense, where we are going to be taking some essences together and sharing our downloads. And I've also started to make some of my own as well, and like one that I really has been helping me for the last year is oak essence. Oak is really helpful at supporting you for the long haul and also giving you energy when you feel like you are just doing too much. And I'm a witch, you know, who loves to do too much. So I am like, I really need that support so I can continue, just because I know that maybe, because I feel like I'm definitely, and I think a lot of witches can probably relate to this. Like, I'm a person that, like, my body can be exhausted, but my spirit will still be soaring. And so I will like really try to keep going. And there's times where, you know, I think you really do need that extra support, or and you also need to, you know, let yourself know that it's okay to rest, or it's okay to, you know, allow your spirit to soar while your body rests, you know.
Yes. Oh, that's amazing. I wanna check that the periwinkle essence out from Saewon. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for talking with me. How do you want to close our spell today?
I'd love for us to, as you were saying, turn off, put out our candles, and maybe we could say like a closing statement. Let me grab my candle.
I always say thank you to my candles before I blow them out because I want to recognize that they open up a spirit realm, and an interconnectivity. So thank you, Candle, for your
Thank
service.
you. Thank you, Candle.
And I'm so honored and privileged to join today with you, Edgar Fabian Frias, to celebrate the interconnectivity and the collective liberation for all oppressed beings. May we rise, may the ones who are causing harm may we will their power to fall and collapse so that we may rise for more of our interconnectivity in a just world.
Yes, and I want to say thank you so much to all of the listeners who are here, who are part of this spell, to all of the people who are going to be connected to them and to us in this space. And I want to honor and name that there are so many people and plants and animals that are really supporting us right now. And I want to invoke the magic of our mushroom kin to support in transmuting and repurposing all of the energy that is going to be available as these systems collapse, and to support us in receiving their blessings and their knowledge and their guidance, so that we may be available to move into the new systems that are emerging between us, that are in service of our collective liberation.
So will it be?
So will it be?
Well, thank you, Edgar. If you want to leave again, if you want to just end with where folks can find you, how they can connect with you one more time, and I'll have that in the show notes as well. Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. So folks can find my website. It's edgarfabianfrias.org. As I said, I update projects there, and I also have past projects that I've worked on. And I also, this it's a place where I also put podcasts or different media that I'm connected with as well. And I also have an Instagram, which is at Edgar Fabian Frias, and also my energy practice is at our sacred web, our underscore sacred underscore web, as well.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Edgar. I am such a fan of your work. I hope someday we get to meet and hang out in real life, and sending you lots of love from the desert.
Same. Oh my goodness. I cannot wait for us to hang out and meet in real life. Sending you so much love from green country out here in Oklahoma as well.
Listening to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review in iTunes and check out www.riseupgoodwitch.com for more information about tarot readings and the apothecary.